Many years ago, an elderly woman in a parish I was serving, who happened to be dying of cancer and there was nothing more they could do for her, was living out the last weeks and months of her life in a hospice program in a person's home that took care of people in that kind of situation. And I'd go out to visit her. I had visited her in the hospital a few times, but this was now the first time that I'd gone to see her in this hospice. And she had called me and asked that I would come, particularly because she found that her primary caretaker, the woman that owned this place, didn't really know or understand the gospel. And so I went. And I was surprised as I came in the front door and met this woman that she wanted me to talk to, that inside of her living room and kitchen and so on, it was just plastered with pictures of angels and little figurines of angels all over the place. And she had angels on her shirt and so on with little pins. It's just amazing. And yet, sure enough, in my discussions with her, I could tell that she really didn't know the gospel about Christ at all. It's easy for us sometimes to focus on something in the scriptures, like angels, for instance, and do it in a way that becomes disconnected from the real message of Christ. The devil is very happy when Christians can latch on to something in the scriptures that can lead them away from the gospel. And that may sound contradictory, but this is often the case. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were very latched onto the traditions and the Torah, the ancient law of God, and so on, and yet were so attached to it and focused on it that they missed the doctrine of salvation by grace. At the time of St. Paul, the Judaizers in Galatia were so enthralled with the doctrine of circumcision and so focused on that that they likewise had missed the gospel around which that doctrine had been built in the Old Testament. And so having an unhealthy love for something in the scripture and seeing it in a way that is disconnected from the cross can be dangerous to us. And so our Lord, throughout the scriptures and even here in our text, our Lord would have us see and understand this wonderful teaching about the angels, but always view it in the context of our salvation. Always view it in the context of saving faith in Him as our Savior. Jesus pulls a little child in front of Him in this gospel reading, and He describes this little one as one who believes in Him, who has faith in Him, who by God's grace trusts in Him alone for the hope of heaven. Just like that little child for us as well, the hope of getting to heaven could never be found in us and our miserable lives. But God in His grace grants this gift of faith to hold on to Christ. And Jesus takes one of these little children in front of Him as He's speaking to His disciples now and instructs them about the role that the angels play even in this child's spiritual life. There's no greater expression of God's love and mercy for us than what we see on the cross, and how He sent His Son to suffer the punishment we deserve. And part of that same love and mercy of God for His church of believers in the world is to assign to them angels, these special spirit beings that care for us and protect us on the path to salvation. And their primary purpose is to keep us with Christ. Even at times when these angels may be used to permit evil to come to us and to allow things happen to us that maybe would even cause us at times to wonder about God's care. Even in those times, their activity and even their inactivity has been directed by God for the ultimate outcome and purpose of our salvation. In the Nicene Creed, we say that great line, "I believe in all things visible and invisible." And in the scriptures, God comes along and removes that veil, you might say, that veil that hides the angels in invisibility, removes that veil so that we can recognize by faith, not by sight, but by faith, their activity in our life on the path of salvation. There's a great story that demonstrates that as well from the Old Testament, taken from 2 Kings. And maybe you've heard this, maybe not. It's maybe one of the less familiar stories. But here in this context, the prophet Elisha is in a city where he is surrounded, and he and his servant are in great danger because the king of Syria has sent horses and chariots and so on to attack. Just listen to these verses. "Therefore the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And the Lord struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." I always love that story. It shows how God lifts the veil in that sense in a physical way for the servant to physically see the presence of the angels. By faith for us, God also lifts the veil in the scriptures for us to recognize their role and activity in our lives of faith as well. God could easily, because angels are a non-detectable thing according to visible sight, God could easily have let them do their activity and just let us know about them. But he knew that this would be of great comfort to us. He knew that it would be a strengthening thing for us in our faith to know what a wonderful safety net he has provided for us with these guardian angels. Now, if you're like me, we oftentimes primarily think of the role of angels in regard to physical protection. But God would have us understand them and see their role primarily in the realm of our spiritual lives, in the lives of our path of salvation. And we see that mentioned in the scriptures as well. So often, God describes to us the angels' activity, not only surrounding the work of Christ, but also in the lives of his faithful in regard to the means of grace. For instance, we're told by Jesus that every time one sinner repents before God, hearing his law and recognizing our sin and coming before him and seeking his forgiveness that is so freely given in Christ, every time that happens, the angels in heaven rejoice. In the book of Acts, we hear about how Philip was sent by an angel to go and perform baptism for the Ethiopian. I love in our ancient liturgies how we sing when we get ready to take communion in the preface before the Sanctus. "Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven." What a neat thing to think that as we come to that feast of salvation to receive our Lord's body and blood to keep us on the path of salvation, that even in heaven there is a choir singing along with us praise to our Heavenly Father. When we finish this life and by God's grace enter heaven, I think it would be wonderful if God permitted us to watch a movie of our own lives on earth, as boring as that may seem. But to watch a movie of our lives on earth and let us see then where angels were involved. Places that we took for granted. Places where we thought it was maybe by chance that something happened. Or maybe something that we did that caused certain things to happen. And to see their amazing involvement. But especially to notice how they were involved in helping us along the path of salvation to stay with Christ. And I especially think it will be wonderful to meet that one particular angel whom God had assigned to you in the waters of your baptism and who remembers every time that you and I repented before God and held on to his grace in Christ Jesus. And on that day, just like we should say today, we will say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen."